life in the Spirit,
experiencing
the fullness of Christ.
Translated
into Burmese from English. Sessions 10 to
12.
The instruction of the Spirit. By Paul Bucknell, produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.
Really special for us to gather around God's Word. And so we'll be going through a number of topics regarding the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're talking about the life in the Spirit. We are less interested in ideas about the Holy Spirit or thoughts outside of the scriptures. We're not so interested in that. But we're more focused on what the scriptures say, how the Holy Spirit affects our lives. And so we've been looking at it like the way we are aware of the Spirit more and more as we grow as Christians. So yesterday we talked about the Spirit of God communicating. Or how the Holy Spirit works on a new believer or unbelievers. And how He's working in all believers. So I'd like to go on in that same thought about how He works among us all as believers. So life in the Spirit. Experiencing the fullness of Christ. And this section 10, we're talking about the instruction of the Spirit. Can you just lead us in a word of prayer?
Hallelujah, Metaroshina Padimlemha, Kuro, Tonoro Alungu, Iniado, Kuroe, Asekanjun, Paul Bucknell Tankane. နောက်ကပတ်တော်မြတ်ကိုနားလေဖူရနွတ်တဲ့တင်ကျူဖူရနွတ်တဲ့ကျွန်တော်တို့အချင်းကောင်းခါကောင်းပင်ရှင်ပေးတော်ကြောင့်နားမတော်ကိုချီးမွမ်းပါတယ်မေတ္တာရောရှင်အဖတန်ရှင်တို့အင်းတို့အဖဘိတေပေးတော်မူပါအလုံးကူတန်ရှင်တို့အင်းတို့အဖဘိတေပေးတော်မူပါနားလေသဘောပေါက်နိုင်ခွင့်ပေးတော်မူပါကျွန်တော်တို့အနှောင့်အယှက်ဖြစ်စေတဲ့အရာတွေအလုံးကူဖေရှားပေးတော်မူပါ
Okay, so let's think about the need for the Spirit to reveal things to us. Now we'll look at John 16, verses 13 at this point. It says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will speak not on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak.
Tamatiyaku tindo a chunme tundin piata link me to win in the di, who alu alio, hop your me maho, chia them here do go, hop your ling me.
No, the no rotation.
Now we'll talk more about this later, but it's very important to identify the Spirit identifies himself with the truth. Now this is in contrast to other prophets or evil spirits. And because he's the Spirit of Truth, he guides us into that truth. You might think of the serpent in the garden. He was speaking from his own initiative, the serpent. But the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, in full harmony with the Father, communicates. Okay, so the serpent had his own ideas and was trying to pass those on.
And
in fact, he says, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he's not yet there in at least the way he will be. But we're only looking at a couple months, because this is just before Jesus died, John 16. And so in Acts 2, then the Spirit comes in a special way among his people. And so, overall, you see, the Spirit of God is what we need. We need him to teach us that truth. And I would say that this is one of the biggest challenges for believers. Because temptation is lies, distracting, taking us away from the truth. And if you can't discern between temptation from the evil one and truth from the Spirit, we have big problems. And I tried to begin to highlight that yesterday when I was talking about worries or fears or jealousy. Because that's the evil one trying to have us to follow our desires, our fleshly desires. Rather than the Spirit of God leading us into truth. Now it's very interesting, verse 13, this is John 16, verse 13. It says, he will guide you. Now you think of someone guiding you somewhere. To guide you, you need to know the destination. To guide you, you need to know the path to that destination. To guide you, you need to have the confidence you can get there to the destination. And that speaks about all the aspects of the Holy Spirit toward his people generally. Now, I know... Well, this is a pathway, right? He's guiding you. It's step by step. And I do understand some people say this is written or spoken to the disciples, the apostles.
The
Well, I think there were more than just 12 up in the upper room, but even if you accept that Jesus was speaking to the disciples, 12 disciples.
So, di ma, di taman do senyo tet, di, senyo tet ta timpe ra mahao babu.
I still think this is speaking not just to the 12 disciples, but generally to the Christians, how the Spirit of God works in His people.
So, di ha ku, yung chi tu mia a lung a tet,
The question is, well, God will guide the apostles, but does He guide me? You know, this is what we're asking
so,
right here. Now the apostles needed special comfort and direction that the Spirit of God would guide them when Jesus left.
So, Jesus, to be no by ma, the man do re go.
But as we look at other scriptures later, you'll see that he's actually has the same ministry to all believers.
So in verse 14,
well, the end of verse 13, he will speak and he will reveal that to you. Okay, so I mean, he's going to communicate with us. We talked about that yesterday. And that's why I say, for us, we need to be constantly understanding the Spirit's often teaching us, guiding us. As we look at verse 14 and 15, we'll see that the Spirit of God does not draw attention to itself, himself.
So
the Spirit takes the truth from the Father and reveals it to them and glorifies Christ. So in a real way, it's the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of Truth. And that's what I mean. We have Christ with us. That's what Jesus means. Christ, he says, I will be with you to the end of the age. So it's not only an acknowledgement that there's truth out there, but acquiring that truth that would guide you into the right decisions. That's the spiritual transformation we're looking for, that he's looking for. Now, you know, as a parent, you tell your child something. You're taking your thoughts, your directives, your guidance, and passing it on to your child.
And
you're hoping that child will understand those words, apply them to their own decision-making process.
And
when they do well, you encourage them. Very good. So there's that listening, that passing on of truth. So when we talk about the filling of believers, we talked about that yesterday. It speaks about the process where the Spirit of God comes and occupies us, teaches us so powerfully of the truth of God,
the truth.
It's taking that knowledge, that truth, that courage, and given it to us. The instruction of the Spirit, which we're talking about here,
is
that day-to-day process He teaches us. And so this is the way God communes with us. He communicates with us. So He doesn't want to just teach us knowledge. He wants to teach us truth that shapes our lives. I was talking about God's will yesterday. You know, part of the struggle we have is not really knowing what God wants. Sometimes we know. But the big struggle we have is with our own hearts. Or we don't trust Him, what He wants is the best. Has He ever directed you to do something but you didn't want to do it? Think about it. You know, God's teaching us, leading us, and yet we don't trust Him. So it shows us that we're listening to another lie out there that keeps us from trusting God. Proverbs 8, verse 17.
It
says, I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me find me. There's a breakthrough there when we begin to seek the truth and trust Him.
Now,
if we have time, we'll talk more about the Spirit's personal preference, but I need to speak about it a little bit here. You see, John 14:26. It's the help, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Okay, so here He is again. The Father will send Him in my name. Because this again, it's predicting again in about, what, 60 days or so, 50 days after Jesus dies, when the Spirit comes. But the Spirit just didn't come on the apostles, it came upon all of God's people. The different names for the Spirit here is the Helper. The Spirit is called the Holy Spirit here. And again, He's saying, I'll teach you all the things that I said to you. I'll bring it back to your mind.
So He's teaching
you new things as well as reminding you. So you can see that the Spirit's ministry is really Christ-oriented. Bringing Jesus' words fresh to our minds to help direct our lives. I know there's a lot of confusion sometimes. And we sometimes wonder what the Lord is saying to us is right or good. Well, One time, early on, when I went to India, it was a time our ministry didn't have much money at all. Whenever I went on a trip, even like now, I have to raise and pray that God brings in more money. But then they said there was going to be 300 people coming.
<laughs> 300 people.
That's a lot of money. You know, because the Lord was directing me. But because I was worried, I was questioning whether that was possible. So I remember walking around my backyard, and I had lots of doubts and worries. I should be preparing messages, but my mind, I'm worrying, I can't think about
the message.
And finally I said, Lord, this isn't right. Forgive me for worrying. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke two phrases from the scriptures to me. Both were from the times that he fed many thousands of people.
And
so he was bringing back to memory things I read long ago, right? He says, you give them something to eat. I felt just like the disciples, right? How can I give them something to eat? I don't even have money. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. But his word was different when he told me this. He wasn't just telling me words. It was like he was giving me faith. It's a good, noble thing to just want to help them, encourage them by feeding them some. So that was kind of confirming. Yes, okay, I can do that. Okay. There was another phrase. And that one was very interesting. What do you have? And again, the Spirit just spoke so powerfully to me through this. Because he was telling me, don't look at what would come in, look at what I had. Now, I didn't have money. Even, I had money for a one-way ticket, but not a two-way back. But it was telling me, on the basis of what I have, start taking action. And that gave me great peace. Oh, I can do that. I don't have money to buy a ticket yet. But I do have money to get a visa. And so it was a step of faith. I didn't have money to feed them. But that's not my problem. I just use what I have. And that made a lot of sense to me. And it brought a wonderful peace to my heart. And so all of a sudden, quickly, apply for visa. And just within a week's time, because I was going in about 10 days, that God brought all the money that was needed. He brought the visa back. I had a ticket. And he worked out all the problems. And some of the problems were mine because I applied too late. Because that visa came the very morning I was leaving.
So he knew I was worrying, and I delayed a good decision of applying for a visa early. But in his extraordinary mercy and grace, he still brought the visa in time. This way, he brought the word of God to my memory. And the Spirit of God brought the truth behind these words. That freed me to live in faith. Don't look at what I have. But trust that God, there's more there, that God will take care of all of
this.
Now, I wanted to use another verse here to help you realize that the Spirit works this way with all His people. Because the upper room discourse was mostly for the disciples. But when we look at Luke 12:4, he says, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. I like this part. And after that, they can't do anything else. And then verse 11 here, Luke 12:11-12. So verse 11, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say to the people persecuting you. So verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus is speaking to the disciples generally, all believers. We can take comfort that the Holy Spirit, in fact, does bring knowledge we need to know. And just like the Spirit gave Jesus those certain words he needed to know, so from the Father, he will do that with us. So Paul in 1 Thessalonians was encouraging the Thessalonians. They were being afflicted, persecuted. And Paul said this, chapter 1, verse 6. You became imitators of us, Paul said. And of the Lord, Lord Jesus. Having received the word in much tribulation. And joy of the Holy Spirit. So do you see how the Spirit is communicating, instructing us? I think this is the heart of a good quiet time when you're reading God's Word every day. What makes a difference that it's a religious ceremony of sort that I do every day? And on the contrary, anticipating that God will speak to me all that I need to know from my reading. And so we need to teach God's people to listen to God through the Spirit, through His Word. The Spirit is by our side, the Paraclete, counseling us. How many of you, I'm sure all of you, at some point when you were discouraged, you read a promise from God's Word. And the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, came, used that to refresh you, encourage you. Or even think of this from James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. He'll give to all men generously, and it will be given to him. Well, he does. God does that by bringing the through the Spirit, the Word of God, and encouragement. So what I'm challenging you in again is be the disciple of Jesus. Anticipate God will give you wisdom as you need it. He has many ways, but He does it through His Spirit chiefly. So I want to go on and speak a little bit about the Word of the Spirit. It's very closely associated to what we were just talking about. But more important, I really want to show you how the Word of God is so connected to the Spirit of God. And we can see this when we turn to the passages that talk about the God-inspired scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 is the first one, verses 19 to 21. And so verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure to us as a lamp shining in the darkness.
And then
In 2021, but know this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So on one side, we have some people who revere God's word. They have the Bible up here. And because the Bible here, it's very holy. On the other hand, you have the Spirit of God. It's more sensory, teaching you differently. But let me just say that really what we're being taught here is that the Spirit of God works with the Word of God. It was the Spirit who prodded the men to teach, write down the Scriptures. And that's what we mean, it's God's Word.
It's not only for the priests, the pastors, it's for all of God's people.
And
you have a Bible translator here, you know, bringing God's word in a clearer way to God's people so they can hear from God. It's not just written because a person felt like writing. It was more than that. And that's why he emphasizes the word prophecy, to testify and prove that. So when Judas was betrayed, in the Psalms, it predicts that. And in fact, Joseph is a type of that betrayal in the Old Testament, Genesis.
Joseph,
but it's all portraying reality of the Spirit of God who knows the mind of God.
So in
1 Peter 1:10, we see again that he's talking about the Spirit of Christ here. Now, it's not just that I'm using these terms. The scripture itself is using these terms. And it helps us realize the Spirit is not just on His own, but it's the Spirit of Christ. And as we see in the Old Testament, it's talking about in verse 10 here, that the prophets were wondering, who is this speaking about? It's the Messiah. So you, Micah 5:2, you know where the Messiah would be born.
Bethlehem.
Isaiah 53, you know what would happen when he would be killed. As well as the teaching of justification by faith.
In
verse 12, he preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. And so again, we see the Spirit of God even helping us preach the word or others preach the word. But again, I'm trying to connect the Spirit of God with the Word of God. They work together. Later, we'll look at the spiritual gifts, and we'll see again that's wrapped up in the Word of God. But let me pause a second and just talk about the counterfeit spirit. False
spirit.
1 John 4:1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, see whether they are from God. There's a lot of people believe whatever they hear. We got to teach the people of God to pay attention to the Word of God. To discern it, to test it. So let me just ask you, how would you teach your people to test the Word of God? A message that someone had. Whether they heard them or watched it on television.
Second
Peter 2:1 says there's false prophets arose among the people.
So the tip ya khan chin hit a ping it tip ma le be. The misa prophet de ha ta ka ba lo ma shi de lo.
You see, the spirit, the way you test it, of course, is the spirit of God with the word of God, the written word of God.
To need to show the we in gule chana ro ka sat da phu lo ba le.
So on the one hand, we have what I call the false trinity.
Era ga the hajun to tong pa ta so lo.
We have the imposter, the devil.
Biro na su shi de
who takes authority, the word unto himself.
Era ga tu lo de myo to aya a lo ga ta ku ana ha tu atwe be phit ba.
He incarnates himself through the antichrist or antichrist.
Siro le tu a the Christo ye the antichrist Christo ku san chin to tu a phit la de.
And then there's the influencer, the unclean spirits that go throughout the world.
Biro le di na su ye winin a phit do no lu yung chi tu to to mya mya ku lwang mu de phya chang twei chang de.
So an evil spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but it does the same thing.
Na be me di na su ye winin di ka le di lu lou cha de.
It goes and takes a message from someone.
A che lu mya than ga ne tarin kong ku twa yu de.
And passes it on to you. And you have an idea. Well, this is how false religions start. And so we have false teachers, and then we have heresies.
False teachers.
A true Trinity is the opposite, right? God the Father. Incarnated in Christ, Jesus Christ. But the influencer is through the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God influences us by teaching us. And he works through the preacher to preach the gospel. Instead of false teaching, you have the gospel. So we have the two, right? And that's why we always go back to the word of God to help us. So the Spirit is teaching us. Are you learning?
Yeah.
Have we been able to esteem God's word as the word of God? I want to go on before we break on the sending of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit has a great desire to carry out the mission of Christ, the Father. And so what we find, not only here
in
Myanmar, but all around the world, is God's Spirit powerfully working and saving people. The Spirit of God is bringing the truth through the preachers, the evangelists, to millions. It's probably something fairly true that the present number of Christians now are probably more than ever there were. Because you have as many Christians in Nigeria as in America. You have as many Christians in China as in America. And when you start looking at the world that way, you see, God is on the move. And he's motivating, guiding, empowering God's people. A brother was talking to me yesterday about his evangelism and church planning. I don't know where the money comes from, but I just go.
And God provides for his family, for the ministry. And we see how the God provides for those who are faithful going out. He's interested in comforting the downtrodden, the poor, the broken. Brazil recently passed Korea in the percentage of missionaries being sent out. But the Mongolian church probably has broken all the records in missionary work. Because it's just new, a new church, before it wasn't there. But it's sending people out all the time. And so what we find is that the Spirit of God is behind the mission movement. Isaiah 61:1. It was the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, the Messiah speaking. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. And you know, this whole passage is quoted in the New Testament. Jesus quotes it. But you see, the spirit of missions comes from the spirit that was on Christ. And that's what he's doing all around the world right now. So my grandfather, so he was over in a country in Latvia, in northern Europe, part of Russia.
Oh, the Russia, Latvia. Latvia, ma.
But he was being persecuted. So he went to Germany, to England, but finally to America. And so he was reaching out to the immigrants that were from Latvia, from Russia, from Germany. So in one sense, there's nothing new, really, right? You have persecution everywhere, different times. You have God's people responding to the Spirit, going out in faith. Calling us in His redemptive work. And so He sends out workers. You remember in Acts 13, right? The church at Antioch. And they were fasted and prayed. Because the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have for them. And so verse 4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Off they go. So how does the Spirit send people, right? This is part of the word we call calling, right? In a mysterious way, he convinces us that something is very important. Against all odds, especially financial, right? Sometimes at risk to their lives.
But you
know God wants you to do that.
How do you know?
It's hard to describe. But your priority of life, all of a sudden, it's, I gotta go. I need to pastor. I need to teach. I need to go be an evangelist. So you're part of God using His Spirit to prioritize the importance of that task. Now it's not just knowledge of what He wants you to do. It is also the empowering, the faith that actually He can do it somehow through me. Before, I couldn't ever do anything like that, right? Why do I think I can do it now? Because it's the Spirit of God empowering you, giving you faith to know that you can do it. And it's working with the sovereign power of God to work out circumstances such as your food or needs or protection. That's the Spirit of God powerfully working. That's awesome. And so the Spirit of God reveals His Word and enables us to have that burden of the Word, like Jeremiah, and go teach it.
And
so Acts 1:8. Not just for pastors or church planners. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You shall be, this is Jesus speaking, my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world.
Jerusalem kane sati mi do, di Judea pi, di Samaria pi, ket kaba kung sung di eti, ngaye atate khan miya phip me lu pyo ne.
So this age of spreading the gospel, missions.
Di aku ma di ta ta na piu lo ngan che pian chin, ewen kali lo ngan lo chin.
How long will it go?
It
tells us in Matthew 24:14. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world. For witness to all the nations, and then the end, Jesus coming, will come. You know, in this country, you're going to the furthest ends. You know, many people tell me, yes, we got Christians in Rakhine State, and then we have other tribes that we're reaching. And then I say, well, what's over the mountain? Oh, that's another country or something. But when I'm in India, for example, I'm in a place maybe like this. They're training them at the Bible school, discipling. Then they're sending them to the very edges of the northern part of India. What's over the border? Maybe Tibet, China. You see, we're getting very close to bringing the gospel to the ends of the world. And the Spirit of God will still powerfully enrich, empower, guide us, so we can accomplish that
purpose.
Well, it's just wonderful to know the Spirit of God and how He works. Let me close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the truth of God. You have so much to teach us. Not just in special events, but day by day. That we can grow, that we can be Christ-like. That your gospel can reach the ends of the world. Be with us, Lord. Be with your church, Lord. Raise her up that she's glorious, filled with the Spirit of God. That your name might be praised. In Christ we pray.
This concludes this message on Life in the Spirit. Experiencing the fullness of Christ. Translated into Burmese from English. By Paul Bucknell, produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom. www.foundationsforfreedom.net. Releasing God's truth to a new generation.
Lisa Aki, now music editor, Piagetamatiago, 22 Chin Chapari.